This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Norma Cable, Public Relations and Marketing Specialist at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Welcome, Norma.
Thank you, Ava. Good to be here.
Norma, the Community Food Bank received a sponsorship from the Arts Foundation for an exhibit back in May called Need to Nourish, an exhibit that explored the concept of nourishment and promoted dialogue on the topic of hunger in our community. So with Thanksgiving coming up, the topic of sharing food is kind of on everybody's minds. Could you talk to us about these topics of hunger, sharing food, nourishment, from the food bank perspective?
Absolutely. We were so happy to be able to put on that exhibit and so grateful for the Arts Foundation in funding that. And we just really invited local artists to submit pieces that spoke to them of the need to nourish. We looked at the need to nourish our bodies and the need to nourish ourselves. Those are sometimes two different things. We know that hunger is a need in our community day to day. That often sometimes just gets lost in the shuffle of so many other needs and so many other people that need help. So for us, it was a wonderful chance to really bring that conversation to the forefront. Right now, being close to Thanksgiving is a time when we do see a spike in demand at the Community Food Bank. And we know that for most of us, Thanksgiving and the holidays bring on so many memories, so many traditions around special recipes or special dishes that our family makes. For many people, that Thanksgiving meal or any holiday meal can be a real struggle. The additional cost that's involved in buying special items for a family meal, for a special holiday meal, is just often out of reach. Day to day, what we do and what we see is a large amount of children, a large amount of working families, a large amount of seniors needing some help putting that food on the table and needing some help just in those basics, to that jar of peanut butter in the cupboard, that canister of oatmeal that can go a long way. We're just very grateful that the community does continue to support us and that we can be there when someone does have that need. For us, we have worked not only with non-perishable goods, which I think is what most people think of when they think of a food bank and go in and receive a food bag, but what we've had great success with in the last few years is in getting some of the produce that is coming up from Mexico and in diverting that from the landfill to being able to serve people in need. And that has been a huge work for us and very gratifying, because that is always edible produce that we're rescuing, also full of nutrition, fresh tomatoes, fresh squash, cucumbers, watermelon, things like that. And so often when you leave the food bank, you do leave with your emergency food bag or your food box. You also leave with some donated produce. We've had some great success in working with growers who have had great success in growing their crops and maybe try to bring it up into the United States, but for whatever reason, maybe the bottom is dropped out of the market, or the cluster of tomatoes doesn't have enough on it quite to qualify for what it needs to have. We like our produce to look perfect, right? And maybe this doesn't look perfect, but offers still some great vitamins, some great minerals, some great nutrition to people in need and to all of us. So we have been able to rescue millions of pounds of produce, and we're very proud of that work. That work actually got us the award of 2018 Food Bank of the Year from Feeding America, which is a network of 200 food banks across the country. So we're very proud of that. We've been able to get that produce then to Southern Arizona, which we do serve 5 counties in Southern Arizona, but then to other parts of Arizona and even beyond to other states of the country. So very proud of that work and very happy to do it, knowing that that food is staying out of the landfill, which is wonderful in itself, but then also getting to the people in need, the people that we serve, and fresh food, nutritious food grown in a farm. So we're really happy about that work and very grateful that we've been able to make progress there.
And the logistics behind that are just so impressive. You were telling me that people are at the ready with their phone in front of them, because at any moment they could get a phone call from Mexico saying, I've got a truckload of squash headed your way. It's going to be there in 2 hours.
That's right.
How do you navigate that kind of drop of the hat, you know?
So fortunately, that is the job of our Nogales crew, and they're very good at it. And really, when you do sit down with them, they do have their phones right there at the ready. And one phone call can mean not only one truckload, but maybe three of tomatoes or squash. And we know that produce has that short shelf life, and so they need to be ready to go. Where is that truck going? How are we handling this? Who needs this food best and can take it? So hats off to our crew in Nogales. They're very good at what they do. Sometimes a food bank will request, you know, well, can we get a mixed load? Can we get some of the lettuce and some of the tomatoes and some of the squash that you've received? And the answer is, well, yes, we'll figure that out. Yes, you can imagine just from being at home and figuring out whether your produce is going bad and, you know, did you buy that avocado 2 days ago because now you can't eat it anymore. Just how tricky that is. And they've navigated through that and just done a fabulous job. So we are so proud of them. There's a lot of work going on there and a lot of logistics and a lot of just, you know, decision making about, okay, how long have we got on these tomatoes before they're not edible anymore? We don't ever want to serve produce that isn't a good thing to eat. So we really have to be careful and watch that. And that's exactly what they do. And the refrigeration also, that's a huge challenge, right? You're facing a truckload of grapes that need to be refrigerated. You need a place to put them.
And you said that some of that food makes its way all the way up as far north as New York.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 33 states that we've been able to get that produce to in the last year. And so, yes, if you can imagine, that is just as complicated as it sounds. But we do work with other food banks, so we know that that produce is going to people in need, to people that those food banks serve. So we're just very proud of that work. We're very grateful for that award. We weren't looking for it. It kind of surprised us when we did receive it last year, but we're very happy to be recognized for that. They recognized the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona for produce work and then for being a collaborative organization. And we do have 385 partner agencies that we serve through our agency market. And those are things like smaller food banks or faith communities who've decided they want to set up a pantry, or maybe an agency that's number one mission is to help the homeless get off the streets, but they still need food, right? We're people. We need food. So we do partner with organizations and realize that we are not in this work alone, and we could never make it if we tried to be.
Norma, you had said to me that at Community Food Bank, food is seen as a basic human right. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. We do see it just as, because we are human, we know that we need food. And we know that it is not our decision to decide if someone is more deserving than the other. When you come to the Community Food Bank, we strive our best to have that be an experience in which you are treated with dignity and respect, because you're human, because you deserve that. And so that is a basic part of our work and really a starting place for us. We want to start there and make sure that we are serving people in that way. That is really our biggest goal. So, you know, often I think people maybe think, oh, I could really use some food, but I can't go to the food bank. I'm embarrassed, or leave it for someone else who deserves it. We just want people to know that they're welcome at the food bank. And, you know, certainly there is a bit of paperwork required when you're signing up to receive an emergency food box. We do take a photo ID. We do take something that shows your address, and we do ask you to declare your income level. Beyond that, you are served with a volunteer, and volunteers are our lifeblood. We wouldn't be doing our work without them. You're served by a volunteer, and you are given your food in a respectful and dignified way. You are treated well. And so that is always our goal. And what we see at the food bank then, again, a large number of seniors, a large number of children, a large number of families.
One of the ways in which Community Food Bank serves with dignity and respect is also appreciating that there are different attitudes towards different types of foods, and different cultures, you know, may perceive food differently. For example, in Paraguay, where I grew up, squash is considered pig food, and people don't want to touch
it.
But I love squash, and actually, speaking of Thanksgiving, we make a squash pie instead of a pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
But I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about that. These really coveted produce comes up, and how do you navigate that? Or when people aren't sure what to do with something mm-hmm. that may be really healthy and nutritious, how do you help them navigate approaching maybe a new ingredient?
Mm-hmm. We do have a health initiatives team, and they take special care to work with recipes that will feature produce that we're seeing, a seasonal type thing, like, say, acorn squash, which for some people is not something that they grew up with, and they wouldn't know what to do with it. And that can be also a very hard lesson in learning how to cut it even, right? So our health initiatives team will take that kind of produce and feature it in a healthy recipe that's usually easy to fix, a few basic ingredients, and then we have even offered samples of that to people who are receiving our food just to make it more accessible so that if you're receiving a case of squash or eggplant or tomatoes that you haven't seen before, you know, tomatoes can come out in a variety of different ways. Sometimes we get heirloom tomatoes, sometimes they're yellow, sometimes, you know, they're cherry tomatoes. So all of that can be intimidating if it's not something that you're rooted in, if you didn't see it in your childhood. We recognize that. We want to make this accessible. I think we even have a recipe like for watermelon salsa. So we work a lot with that. We have a great health and nutrition team that really works to make sure that they can provide some simple recipes that will make sure that that produce is used well. If it's something that you're not comfortable with, that's entirely optional. It's not something that you're required to take or anything like that. It's just a choice that you can make if that helps you. We see the flip side of that also when we do get watermelon in. We can see that people are many times very excited to get that watermelon. We had some apples that went out last month, and we got a call from someone that we serve saying, thank you so much for that bag of apples. That is my favorite food. I couldn't believe I received that at my visit to the food bank today.
For someone who has never been to the community food bank before, what are they going to see if they go for the first time?
So the experience will be different if you're coming in as someone to pick up your food bag. Then you'll come into our pantry, and you will be checked in by one of our fabulous volunteers. Again, you'll see a wall of people just at their desks, and all of those people are volunteers. Some of them who have been there for years, many of them who know exactly what they're doing. So that's a wonderful way to be greeted. And often there is a line, but usually we do think it does move quickly. That's just a check-in process, and then getting your food and getting your cart and getting out to the parking lot. Ava, I took you for your first tour the other day, and it is shocking to many people when you go to the backside of the food bank and you see the size of the warehouse. And I think it's eye-opening for a lot of people to see the scale that we're working at and to know how big of a problem must go along with that scale in terms of how many people need that food. Sometimes we call it the Costco part of the tour, because it is exactly like that, a huge warehouse with shelves that go up to the ceiling and miles to walk. Whenever I want to get my steps in the day, I just go out and walk around the warehouse, and it works just fine. And at the very corner of our warehouse is our production lines, where you'll find volunteers 5 mornings a week working that assembly line, making sure those emergency food bags or boxes are getting packed with the right ingredients. And that's its own adventure, I guess I could say. We do have, again, some longtime volunteers that have done that, and so they can basically run that line themselves. They know it's very physical work. It's a great workout. It's also a great team building exercise. If your colleague doesn't place that big bottle of juice in the corner of the box just right, then you don't have room to put the cans in, then the cereal box can't go in, then the pasta can't get stacked on top of it. So really it's a lesson in cooperation and team building. You don't want to hold up that line. There are thousands of bags that get packed in a morning. Important work, good work. We need to make sure that that food goes out in the best shape possible. Those packages aren't broken. It gets to the person that needs it safely. So it's really great to see. And usually they've got the radio on up loud, and they're, you know, dancing to the music and just kind of getting into it. So it's actually a great team building exercise. And then we do see some companies that will bring in employees for the morning or for an afternoon. We've even begun to take some of that work out to the community so that we can move that food out, make it part of a staff retreat, have people just go pack and pack and pack those bags, and then get that product done. So a great way to volunteer if you're interested in doing that at the Community Food Bank. We do offer that on Saturday mornings as well. So if you're working during the week, that's an opportunity, but really a great way to get some exercise and to know that you're doing some good.
So Tucson Agency is looking for a team building retreat, should consider coming in.
Absolutely.
And packing some bags.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a great idea.
The other thing that I saw at the food bank was the garden.
Yes, one of my favorite places at the food bank. And not everybody knows that we have it back there. It's not all that visible from the parking lot. Nuestra Tierra Garden has been there for 20 years. And when I think about that, I think, wow, 20 years ago, you know, our leaders saw that that was an important feature. And now I think gardening is out in the limelight, really experiencing some great attention, and that's wonderful. 20 years ago, I don't know if it would have been quite so popular. Children especially can pick some broccoli out of a garden and know that it tastes so much better than any that they've had before, and for adults too. So yes, we went down to the garden, and it's a beautiful place to go, but also does so much good in terms of offering free gardening workshops for the community and taking special pains to work with seeds and varieties that will grow in the Tucson summer with our kind of soil, which can be challenging, and often varieties that have been grown for thousands of years. So really wonderful work with the garden, and really important work in terms of, again, making that connection to what's good for you and what's good for your body, and how can you grow it.
And the garden there is not the only garden that Community Food Bank has.
That's right. That's right. We actually have a farm, and I don't think most people know that. A 6-acre farm out on the banks of the Santa Cruz River, west of the freeway, and that is called Las Milpitas. And that is a place where we offer free garden plots for families, for people who want to learn how to garden. So you can have that space. I think it's 4x8, and you can have that space. It comes with irrigation. We will help you with the planting. We will help you keep the moles away. We will help you deal with the pests. We will help you find varieties that will work. We just had our big pumpkin smash event out there where we were smashing Halloween pumpkins and making them into compost. But really very accessible place for people to learn how to garden.
And the Community Food Bank also has farmers markets.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people are surprised to learn that. But actually, if you come to the main Community Food Bank at 3003 South Country Club, you will find a farmers market right there out in front on Tuesday mornings from 8 a.m. to noon. And that for us is an essential part of what we do. And that again has been around for 20 years. And that is a wonderful way for us to work with backyard gardeners and with growers and to get that locally grown, sustainable produce out into the community. We're very proud of that. We're very happy to do it. We also know that we can offer people a chance to come and to shop. Sometimes people will come and pick up their emergency food bag and then wander out by the farmers market, pick up some produce before they leave. We can offer what is called Double Up SNAP, and SNAP is food stamps, so that if you are spending $20 at the farmers market on produce, we actually can double that for free and you can leave with $40 worth. So again, a wonderful way to get some healthy food into the community, but also economically to support those growers and to support people who have taken on gardening and found, oh, this works and I like it, and help them to succeed at that. One of our growers started his work because he wanted to plant a salsa garden. So he planted the tomatoes and the peppers and the chilies and all of a sudden had a bumper crop of chilies and didn't know what to do with them. And so came to the Community Food Bank and learned how to sell his produce, and now is one of our lead growers working with this co-op that we've formed with 100 backyard gardeners and growers.
I was surprised to learn that the farmers market on Thursdays at Mercado San Agustin, which I sometimes go to, is a Community Food Bank. Wow.
And you know, that's a lot of what we do. A lot of our work, I think people are surprised. Oh, that's the Community Food Bank. But it is. We do reach into five counties, and we do support that. And that is a wonderful farmers market. But again, that's our co-op at work, and the Community Food Bank supporting that work and being able to sell that freshly grown produce.
So there's the growing of the food. There's the distribution of the food, and there's also the preparation of the food y'all have a kitchen as
we
well.
We have a kitchen also, yes.
It doesn't stop.
We do have a commercial kitchen. It's Caridad Community Kitchen, and it's over near Speedway and Main. It was started by a church across the street, Holy Family. It was started to as they fed people who are homeless. As time went on, they were not able to sustain that, so we purchased it, I think, for a dollar. And we are continuing that work, and we've had, again, some wonderful support and donations so that at that community kitchen, yes, you can receive a sack lunch, grab-and-go lunch. That kitchen is also a place where community meals are prepared, and those go out to different sites, a lot of faith communities, to provide a hot meal for someone who cannot otherwise afford that. That may be their only hot meal of the day. And then also we do provide senior meals with a contract with Lutheran Social Services and Catholic Community Services. And those, I believe they're preparing about 1,500 a day of those. So those go out through Meals on Wheels. There is always a lot going on at that kitchen, but it is a great kind of work and just a beautiful environment, a really fabulous place where lots of good things are going on every day.
And there's some training that happens at that kitchen as well, correct?
Absolutely, yes. So culinary training. So as we continue our work, we know that that line that starts outside the food bank does start early, and it often does get long. And so part of our work is to shorten that line and to really look at the poverty that often accompanies hunger. Giving someone a food box is a great way to treat that hunger, but that also there may be some long-range things that we could do. And so one of the things that we do offer is a culinary training program with Caridad Community Kitchen, and that we offer that twice a year. The next one is starting in January. It's offered free. It is offered to people who are unemployed or underemployed. Sometimes those are people who have experienced addiction. Sometimes they have served time for a felony and gotten out and all of a sudden can't get a job. So they go through this training program, which lasts 10 weeks, fabulous training program, learning those culinary skills. And they're chopping food on the second day. And there's one day where they just chop onions, that kind of training, so that they end up with something called ServeSafe certification. They're able to go out and work in restaurants in a higher paying job than what a fast food job might pay. They have those skills. And that training also includes life skills, writing a resume, how to interview for a job, even being on time for the training every day. We see some remarkable stories of commitment from people who maybe still need to work full-time, but also take that training, which is essentially a full-time job. Amazing stories from graduates who have gone through that program. And not all of them end up in the culinary field, and that's fine. I talked to one graduate who said, this just taught me how to be responsible. She was off working at a job that was unrelated to anything in the kitchen. So we are very proud of that and very cognizant of that work in terms of making a difference, not only in people, but in the skills that they hold and in economically what they will be able to achieve, kind of raising that up. At the same time, all of the students in the Caridad training program do their training on community meals. So when they're learning how to chop an onion or make a sauce, they are creating food and cooking food that is going out to a community in a community meal. So that element of service is built right in terms of the experience that they're getting. So they're already preparing food for someone in need and also learning at the same time.
And in terms of serving the community and trying to address poverty in general, I was also pleasantly surprised to learn about the Gabrielle Giffords Resource Center at the Community Food Bank, where there's someone available to help you navigate how to get WIC, how to get SNAP, how to take advantage of resources that you may be eligible for within the community.
That's right. Again, recognizing that a food box will help someone for a week or so or for a few days to get the food that they need, but maybe they also do need some help in navigating some of those government programs or in advocating for themselves or in even finding out what they are eligible for. We know that for many seniors, they do qualify for SNAP or food stamps, but they won't file for it. Maybe it is too difficult. Maybe it needs to be done on a computer, which they're not comfortable with. Maybe it's a language issue. Maybe it's just not something that they can do by themselves. So we do offer that help. If you need help applying for SNAP or food stamps, you can come into the Gabrielle Giffords Resource Center. That resource center work goes on also in Marana, where we have a location, also in Nogales, also in Green Valley and Amado. So there is work like that going on all over.
Returning to the topic of nourishment, it seems like lots of people go to the community food bank to get food to nourish their bodies and selves. But also there are hundreds of volunteers that go to the community food bank to perhaps nourish something else, their desire to feel connected to their community.
We do have some great volunteers, and they are amazing and inspiring to us. When I left this morning, I left and said goodbye to Keith, who has been with us for 30 years. And he does his work with a smile. You don't catch him on a bad day. He's happy to be there. Our volunteers at our pantry, where they check people in, they're getting to know each other. They've walked Meet Me at Maynard's a couple times, met for coffee. They decided to start teaching and learning Spanish classes. So they're fabulous. But just recognizing also that community is so important. We see that same thing on the production line when we see people assembling those food bags. The Wednesday morning group, you know each other well and count on each other to be there, and then are just friends. They like to be there. We have a very skilled volunteer out there who just amazed me. He had laid some pavers, and oh, those things were so straight and level. He had also just built the floor of the greenhouse at the exact level that it needed to be to drain the water correctly. Fabulous construction skills, and he offers them to the farm free. And he, you know, he just said, well, you know, like I told my wife, this is just the farm I could never afford to have. So
you showed me the Palace of Love or the Castle of Love.
Yes, Rita. She basically just rehabbed herself out of some very severe back issues, just really struggling. And what she told me is that she decided, well, no, I'm not going to live this way. And so she is showing up at the food bank three mornings a week and getting stronger. She wears a back brace and she can't lift any weight. But what she can do is open up those bags, those paper bags to put the food in. And so that's what she does, just layer by layer by layer, just builds this tower of bags. And she does call it her her mansion or her palace of love. just fabulous.
I have never had to worry about food in my life. And I don't think about it. Could you talk to us a little bit about what might be the circumstances of a family or an individual who find themselves needing that help?
What we usually hear, well, we hear all kinds of stories. And sometimes it is someone who just moved here and just needs help getting on their feet and needs that extra bit of food to make things happen while they get a job, while they get located here. Sometimes it is someone who has suffered an accident that came out of the blue, and all of a sudden the major breadwinner of the family can no longer work, and there is a big need there. We also see working families who are handling two or three jobs and just not able to make those ends meet in terms of making sure that the children have food. We also see a rising number of seniors, especially in our state, who are reaching out in terms of just suffering from some food insecurity. We see grandchildren being raised by grandparents who weren't planning on this at their stage, maybe seniors who are on Social Security and living with that fixed income, who all of a sudden are looking at raising one or two children with that fixed income. I talked to someone at a school pantry the other day who said, this image of, you know, by the time you're a senior, you have it made, that just isn't true. So she was picking up food at a school pantry, able to take advantage of that and very appreciative of it. I talked to a man the other day in the food bank who said, I'm just one of those people that ran out of money. During the government shutdown that we saw earlier this year, I think we definitely experienced how quickly people can fall into that position of need. Government workers missed one paycheck, and we saw a little bit of increase in our demand. Then they missed that second paycheck, and all of a sudden there was quite a sizable increase. And we packed up our trucks and went out to the Federal Correctional Institute out on Wilmot and in Safford, taking food to where they work. Some of those people are working shift work, so getting to the community food bank itself is not that easy. So taking the food out there. And they have thanked us for that repeatedly and just said that made such a difference in morale in terms of knowing that they weren't by themselves at that time and that we could be there. That was a simple food bag, some produce, some donated bread. I think we had some frozen chicken then, but really some basic elements that just made all the difference.
Is there anything that you'd like to add, Norma?
Well, I just would say that really it is fantastic. I mean, I talk about our work all the time and I just still get emotional about it and think, wow, we're doing great work. And I just have to keep in mind, and I hope that everyone does keep in mind, we don't do it by ourselves. We do it only with the support of the community. When you look at our budget, more than 70% of our budget comes from donations. Mm-hmm. And that tells you something right there. So that bag of food, that tax credit donation, that online donation, whatever you're doing for the community food bank, volunteering your time makes a difference. It's really the only way that we could succeed. There is a high need in Arizona. Hunger is a problem here. And to serve people that we serve in 5 counties across southern Arizona doesn't happen without all of the community pitching in and without really people thinking about this kind of thing that may be uncomfortable or maybe unusual.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Norma.
Thank you, Ava. Thank you for having me.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for KXCI and Artist Stories is provided by UA Presents, hosting the Master of Gypsy Flamenco, Farruquito, on November 13th at Centennial Hall. Heir to the most renowned Gypsy Flamenco dynasty in Spain, Farruquito makes his Tucson premiere along with a live band. More information at uapresents.org. This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. All right. To listen to the full-length podcast, visit kxci.org. To listen to the full-length podcast, visit kxci.org.